Lord, you're already here. And we acknowledge that. And we're grateful. May the words that I speak bring you praise, oh God, and never, never shame. Enlighten our minds, soften our hearts, and unite us, that we may understand the day after Christmas. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. The sermon title for this morning, The Day After, The Day After. You know, when you read the text, you think that Mary and Joseph should be probably in jail. Today, if you lost your child for a day and didn't know where your child was, human services would be after you. He's gone for a whole day, and it takes them 3 days to really find out where he is. But the transition from last Sunday to this Sunday, last Sunday you saw a baby in a crib, and we were so excited about the romanticism of the baby in the crib and all the trappings of the baby. And a week later, he's 12 years old teaching in the temple, which shows you the speed of life. And why doesn't the Bible deal with Jesus having a colic, or you changing his diaper, or teaching him his alphabets, and all the maintenance things? God gives us credit for having some sense. We know that those things take place. But the true power of the gospel is this boy grows so fast and so rapidly, and he grows up. He's the teacher. And for us, as we celebrate Christmas, there's always a day after, right? Life goes on. Now, you've looked over your Visa card and said, darn, what's wrong with me? You know, I got to pay Uncle Bob back the $80 I borrowed from him. You look around and say, I just ate too much, bought too much. But life goes on. There's a next day. We used to have a bishop, Bishop Cannon, who he was just a strange guy. Bishop Cannon lost his trunks in the ocean swimming, and they ran to him with a towel, and he put the towel on his head. A friend stayed with him and got up, the biggest ruckus, got up and heard Bishop Cannon screaming and hollering at the television. He thought somebody had broken in, and Bishop was watching a cowboy movie. Shoot him, boy, he's behind the tree, shoot him over there. And they told him before he was a bishop, said, Bishop, if you really want people to take you seriously as a bishop, you got to get married. Bishop Cannon thought, said, okay, but what do I do with it the next day? There's always a next day. And the question is, Christmas is over, what do you do with the next day? The next day ought to begin your journey like Jesus from that softer, romanticized moment to the real, where the real work happens. You put away all the trappings of Christmas. You're putting them back in the boxes and closet, and hopefully they'll last another Christmas. But life goes on. And the role of the church and the Christian is to live the day after Christmas like it's still Christmas. Peace, love, joy. It's almost like we take a suspend life. We suspend hatred and malice and all those things for a season, Advent, Christmas season. And Jesus is patiently waiting for us to have Christmas all year. He's patiently waiting for us to think about our giving to folk all year, our loving and our caring all year. And it's a spiritual thing, though. You got to have it in here to give it out. It's got to be part of you've heard me say it, part of your DNA just to care. You don't need to be involved in random acts of kindness as a Christian. Every day ought to be an act of kindness. Every day ought to be a gift, a devotional gift of giving your life to Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, to the baby who grows up to bring salvation to the whole world, to me and to you. And that salvation includes us accepting and embracing what salvation really means. It just doesn't mean that you're covered with insurance. You know, I'm covered, everything is good. You're covered so you can be productive. You're covered so you can do something significant in this world. And you're covered so you can be a reflection of the life of Jesus Christ. What would Jesus do? I'm amazed that we ask that question when we always know. When we look at capital punishment, what would Jesus do? He wouldn't kill anybody. That's not our call. We fight over abortion, and abortionists tell us, okay, abortion is wrong, but capital punishment is okay. Something vividly wrong with that picture. Life is life. And we who embrace life take the time to understand, to talk, to discuss, and say, what does the gospel really mean in my life, and what should the gospel mean today? After Christmas, after the German chocolate and the pudding and the chitlins and the ham and all that stuff, after it's gone, what is the soul food you're going to receive? What do you receive from the Bible, from preaching, from teaching, and from the fellowship one with another? I get sick and tired of people saying that coming to church doesn't really matter. It matters. It matters because we need to see one another. We need to fellowship. We need to encourage one another. We need to take the time to get up, put on your Vaseline and your stuff and your Old Spice and your Avon and your best stuff and come out to church and share with other folk. Laugh, smile, and sometimes people are hurting, just give them a hug, a good hug, you know, a real hug, a holy hug, not that one where you count 25, 30 Mississippis. You need holding on. We still have a guy in one of our church who, I kept watching him. He loved to hug women. He's very selective. And he'd be holding on for dear life, closing his eyes. I said, boy, get your hands off the leg. Go on back over there. You know, we people need a hug. They need a hug that's wholesome, a hug that's holy, a hug that's friendly. This ain't a place for you to find a new wife. We are called to understand what the next day means, and sometimes to interpret, sometimes we get a faulty understanding of what's being said or what's being done, and we get the wrong impression. How many times have people meant well and we get the wrong impression and just wrote them off? My wife was a country music DJ. Now, she can talk herself into any job. Guy walked into the bank, and she said where she was working. She said, I always wanted to be a DJ. He said, you ever had an experience? No, but I still want to do it. She talked that man into giving her a 6 o'clock slot playing country music. So we both like country music, and so I said, Cynthia, play me a song dedicated to me. And she played Conway Twitty's and Loretta Lynn's, you're the reason our kids are ugly, little darling. But looks ain't everything, and money ain't everything, and I love you just the same. Now I knew she wasn't talking about me being ugly, but the whole fact that the issue is what somebody would have gotten mad and slugged his wife because of the song. I know she loves me. I know she thinks I'm cute, so I didn't have to get mad. I understand. You know, you got to understand. You got to be understanding some things that people say and do. You got to understand, read between the lines. The day after, too many people are fussing and fighting about what they thought they heard or what it meant. You know, folk can come in and say, you really look nice in that dress. She said, my dress is too tight. No, she said what she meant. You look nice. I like that haircut. He's talking about my bald head. Too often, we can't embrace the next day in goodness because we're looking for the bad. Too many people are just looking for something to complain about. He got my parking spot. I come to the church all the time, and I slant to the left, and I saw him eyeing that parking spot, and I knew he going to try something. And I got over there, he's over there slanting to the left. He knows that's my parking spot. Just stuff. Senior Brother Haley and I were good friends. We got good friends laughing about him. He approached me one Sunday. You got 2 parking spaces. I said, yeah, Brother Haley, when I drive 2 cars, I need 2 parking spaces. But what I said to him is, Brother Haley, these parking spaces were here long before I got here, so don't jump me about it. But if I had his thought, he's just trying to be mean, or we never would have become friends. If I had just written him off just because what he said what he was thinking. And too often we write people off because of one incident. And we don't give, we could have had some wonderful, awesome friendships.
some wonderful, awful blessings if we just take the time to understand and appreciate people. You know, people don't want to hurt you. They don't get up in the morning saying, who can I be mean to? But if you are looking for that, that's what you get. If you are looking for bad behavior, that's what you get. But the day after says, I am going to keep this holy Christmas spirit in my soul and in my heart. Yesterday's Christmas Day was a hard day for us, our family. People gathered at Cynthia's mother's house from all across the country. And her mother's getting older, and our thought is, this could possibly be our last gathering. And so we reflected and remembered the ancestors and made memories. And we're all thinking about today after, the day after. But at the end, what we said is we got to make sure that we check on her the day after. We got to make sure that we love her the day after. We got to make sure that whatever happens, we're going to be here the day after. The days after might be hard and might be dreary, but when you're together, when you trust God to work out whatever needs to be worked out, then everything's going to be okay. We have to understand that life gets harder and harder sometimes. As you get older, you get an ache or a bump or something that you ain't had before. Oh, Lord, another shoulder pain. Oh, Lord, my legs hurt. Oh, Lord, my head's hurting. But as people say, what's the alternative? You're still here, and God has still blessed you to be a blessing. So as you understand what Christmas means and it pours out of your heart, be Christmas to somebody. Be Christmas to your spouse. Be Christmas to your grandchildren. Be Christmas to an enemy. Build fences, mend fences. Forgive, forget. Ask for forgiveness. The day after means we keep on living, we keep on living, we keep on living. Are you willing to keep on living? You've heard me say before, my grandfather believes that most of us die around 30. We just wait on 7 and 80 to be buried. Do you want people to see you as your grandchildren, your children, your people to see? When they see Reverend Hobson, I see a dead man. That's the way he lives his life. He's just getting, barely getting by. Or do you want to see people who are passionate? They got 80-year-old people who are still skydiving. 70-year-old, they're crazy, but they're still skydiving. You know, they're scuba diving and doing all kinds of exciting stuff with their lives. And what they said is, we're going to live until we die. I had got a call to come chaperone a dance in a nursing home. And I had big plans, but my friend said, you owe me one. I said, a dance at a nursing home? What do you need chaperones for? He said, man, they get rowdy. They got some chick magnets in here, and women are fighting over these guys, and stuff's going on. And I said, you can't be. So I got myself ready. I get to the nursing home, and the fragrances, the women were Estee Lauder down. Men, Old Spice, hair slicked back, just grinning with two teeth, just grinning, looking for action. And I'm thinking, oh Lord, muscle shirts, and muscles are gone, been gone. And nursing home cleavage will kill you. They came out, and then something happened. When the music came on, the men kind of froze and become wallflowers, except for one, Willie. Willie strolled out of there looking good. Long and lean, long, tall Willie. Willie was dancing and moving, and women were just, oh, Willie. And so my buddy said, go get him. I said, what you mean get him? He's having fun. He said, he just had heart surgery. Get him. He gonna be dead. So I go up to get Willie. He said, leave me alone, Reverend. I said, Willie, they said you just had surgery. I know what I had. Leave me alone. I said, Willie, he said, you see all these babes out here? If I die, I die. But I'm gonna have me some fun tonight. You get away from me. How many times have we just allowed ourselves to be worried about leaving here? Willie said, I'm going to jam. I'm going to take the advantage of what God has given me. All of us need to be like Willie in our lives, to be able to say, I'm going to enjoy life. I'm going to embrace life. I'm going to reach out and love it. And day by day, moment by moment, when I leave here, I won't leave with any regrets. I will leave here knowing that I have given it all my best. That's what live the day after tomorrow is. We're not perfect beings. We're not going to do 100% perfectly every day. But we strive to do what's best. We strive to do what's right by people. We strive to enjoy ourselves. And we don't harbor resentment and get to the end, wish I could have, should have done it, wish I'd done so and so. We don't come to the end with all our dreams wrapped up in our bosom saying, I just didn't do anything. We come to the end knowing that we have done our best. And at Christmas, what we know about Christmas, the day after, is that we got a Christmas tree in our soul. We got the cross in our soul. We understand and know who we are and whose we are. And that's the blessing of it all, that we gather here. And we'll be able to gather next week until we die. There are too many people who don't understand the need to gather. There are too many people who just take this time we have together for granted. There will be a time when you'll want to come here and you can't. So while God allows you the ability with your limbs being strong, your heart pumping, when God allows you to come here and see people and understand what they mean to you, and when they're gone, they're gone. You know, Sister Liz Burton, Sister Charlene Parker, they were pillars for me. Thank God that there are other pillars in the church, but when you lose them, you miss them. When you lose them, there are things and memory and there are hopes and dreams that are gone, and the thing is, who will pick them up? Thank God for Audrey. Thank God for Chucky, who said, I will take up the mantle. I will still do what Mom, Daddy wanted me to do. How many of us forget that we got that mantle, we got that message, that to whom much is given, much is required. God has beckoned you. He still beckons you. Think about how many people, as I count the people and the families in this church, here, and families of who had relatives who touched me, and now who touch you, now they're gone. Think about them. Call their names. You think about them. They're not here. But where they sat, where they sang, where they talked, their spirits are still here. And the way we honor those spirits is to keep on loving the memory and the work and to walk in those same footsteps. You may never be achieve the greatness that they achieved, but you know you'll be a part of a legacy that says we gotta keep going. We gotta keep going. Are you willing to let this Christmas spirit fester and develop in you? Are you willing to make this Christmas, the day after, part of your DNA? Are you willing to have the joy of the holidays all year long? Are you willing to be able to say to the world, I'm doing the best I can, not because of who I am, because of who has created me and who has made me, and the legacy of my family, my ancestors, my kinfolk, and the whole extended family of God. You know, as you think about in your mind, all the saints that we have who've left this church and what they meant to us. I mean, it's overwhelming when you think about the homes you've been in and the people and what they meant to you. It's overwhelming. But the joy comes in knowing that soon and very soon, all of us would gather on the shores of Galilee. All of us would gather with Mom, Dad, sister, and brother, uncle, aunt. All of us would gather and understand and know how we made it over. We made it over with the prayers of our mothers and our fathers and our children and our sisters and brothers. We made it over with the encouragement of family and friends. We made it over with people who said, you can when you felt like you just could not do it. You made it over when you kept hearing somebody say, go on, go on, go on, go on. One of my friends talked about being in at a elementary graduation, and they was whining about, I hope this speaker doesn't speak all day. We got things to do. And a guy, he's a little fat bald man, came toddling in there, and he looked up and he said, oh, this is going to be a long one. But the little old man said, go on, go on, go on. For about 30 seconds, he said, go on, and he sat down. And they said they laughed for weeks about go on, go on. What kind of dumb speech is that? Go on, go on, go on. And then they said, when they got tired of football practice, or when they had to take a test, or even when they got in college, they could hear this little fat bald man saying, go on, go on, go on, go on. And that's what our ancestors and the people who love us keep telling us, go on, go on, go on, especially when your soul is weary, especially when your soul is tired, especially when you just said bye at the graveside of somebody you didn't think you could do without. And you hear the voice that says, go, from them, go on, go on, go on, go on. Just keep on living until God calls you home. That's the Christmas story. Jesus saved us so we could go on and 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 go on. Amen. 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 You stand as we open the doors of the church on this blessed Sunday. You might want to rededicate your life. You might, if you're not a member of the church and you want to come down and say yes to the Lord, I promise you, if you are shy about walking, raise your hand and somebody, some faithful soldier will walk down with you.